If you have your Bibles, open to the book of John. We'll start our teaching today from the book of John. I don't have a specific topic for what I want to begin to teach today, but I have it in my mind what I want to say. I don't know how long it will take, but let me just start today. Today, I think I have a title for what I'm going to say today. And along the line, if it fits, I'll give it to you. All right, if you have your Bibles, open to the book of John chapter 14. I want to start reading from... Well, where I'm going is verse 6, but I just like to read in context. The Lord was speaking to them. He continued in verse 1. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." And he was telling them that he was leaving. Now, for that reason, let me read verse 3. He said, "I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him in verse 5, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" And the Lord said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Notice that again. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except he comes through me." That is, his approach to the Father is by knowing the truth. The way to the Father is the way of truth. Please, that's what I want to emphasize. He said, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." And he said, "From now on, you know him and have seen him." Let me stop there. Please notice what he said in verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Quickly open to the book of Galatians chapter 5. There's something my wife and I were discussing the other day. And I found this scripture. That was yesterday. Was it this morning? I don't even remember. Actually, I was listening to my Bible on CD in the car. And I wasn't even paying attention. Then the thing got to this Galatians chapter 5. And it got to verse 2. He made a statement that is the words of Paul, all right? They were read out and it struck me. He said, "It was for freedom," verse 1, Galatians chapter 5. Open your Bibles there, please, and look at your Bibles. Don't look at my face. It distracts me. He said, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Now, it's verse 2 that struck me. He said, "Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you." He said, "I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law." He said, "You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by the law. Listen, you have fallen from grace." Let me stop there. What I want to bring out is the emphasis that Paul was laying very emphatically in the book of Galatians. You've read the Bible enough, and you have understood that that book of Galatians is one book that Paul did not greet anybody with any kindness. He introduced himself, and then he launched straight into his rebuke, which he called his epistle. You understand what I'm saying? He was very angry. And why was he angry? It was because he had preached the gospel of grace that's in Christ Jesus to the people. And some other people had come and they were explaining to them a corrupted version of the gospel of grace, trying to merge Judaism with Christianity. And they explained that you, even though you have believed in Christ Jesus, you still needed to keep the law. They explained that you needed to be circumcised. Let me make a long story short. They just wanted to remain normal Jews, except that they claim to believe in Christ Jesus. And they said along the line that Paul also keeps the law. In fact, somewhere Paul was very angry at that statement. He said that if indeed I keep the law and I teach the keeping of the law, then why am I still being persecuted? And you guys have heard of my persecution everywhere I go. You understand what I'm trying to explain? Now, what I'm bringing out is that what they were believing now was something different from what Paul had taught them. And you've read it. I'm not studying the book of Galatians now. But Paul is, along the line, place a curse on people. If anybody will preach a gospel different from the one I have preached to you and call it the gospel of Christ, let him be accursed. Even if I'm the one that come and preach another gospel, let the curse be upon me, he was saying in effect. Now listen, Paul was so emphatic on the fact that they must believe what is true. What struck me here was in verse 2. Because what happens sometimes as Christians is that we are trying to be careful. Do you understand my point? We were trying to be careful. You have heard the gospel of truth, but you maintain doing that because you want to play safe. Now, for a long time, I used to just overlook such things. For example, you teach somebody deep, Christians, you know, explain the principle of prosperity. The guy is afraid to miss a tithe, lest he does not prosper. And for a long time, I used to say, do it the way you like it. Then that day, I was reading my scriptures. I was into that Bible. And it got to verse 2. And Paul said, I, Paul, say to you, if you receive circumcision, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. It shocked me back to reality. And I realized that in Christianity, there's no room for playing safe. Did you hear what I said? Yes. It struck me that there is no room for playing safe. Paul said it clear to them. You either believe in Christ Jesus or you go back to your Judaism. There is no room for playing safe. He said it clearly to them. If you receive circumcision, then Christ is of no benefit to you. Actually, what I want to start preaching about, I didn't have a specific topic for it. I just wanted to start talking. But the summary of it is that, please, you must go for the truth and go for it like your life depends on it. It is okay. There's a time Bible calls a time of darkness in which you've not heard much. But when truth starts revolving around, you have a duty to grab it. Every neglect, all right, concerning the grabbing of the truth brings a problem spiritually into your life. There is Facebook. You heard of Facebook? If you have heard of it, say amen. I don't know. I'm sure over 1. Something billion human beings are on Facebook. Everybody that's on Facebook has an email address. Many people who have email addresses don't have Facebook. That tells that the number of human beings that access the internet every day is incredible. Most phones they sell in the developed countries these days are smartphones. That is internet on the move. You've heard of Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/Udechukwu Enugu. Udechukwu's thoughts on the move. I'm going somewhere. So you find out, all right, that information is everywhere. What did I say? Information is where? Everywhere. You tap my computer, you find at least 7 to 12 versions of the Bible. I whip out my phone. I have at least 8 versions of the Bible. Those are the free ones. When I decide to pay $5 here, $7 here, $10 here, I put another 10 versions of the Bible. The complete works of Josephus is on my phone. Bible dictionaries, encyclopedias, they're on the phone. It's a small device. I toss it into my pocket. Information everywhere. Therefore, there is no excuse for ignorance. Most of us, we spend our time on Twitter, Facebook. Chima harassed me. Pastor, I think she'll be on Facebook. She'll be on Facebook after a long time. I said, okay, Chima, Facebook. I did Facebook for a week. I decided it was a gossip zone. And since I'm not a gossiper of the word, I am a teacher of the word. I said, I know they do it again. So he said, Pastor, I see your name there. Is he in? It's not me. And then you see a reply from Facebook. Bearing my name, it's not me. It's Ola Yinka that wrote it. So I have to emphasize that you always put your name. People say, sir, I sent you a message on Facebook. I said, me, a message on Facebook? I'm not there. You have a message for me. You send it to my email address. There's a good chance I'll read that one. I'm looking at an issue here. If it's information, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It is everywhere. It is everywhere. One of the things I don't give people is a Bible. It's against my religion. I will never dash you a Bible unless I'm sure you have 20. You say, why? Because the Bible is cheaper than every other thing right now. There's Bible for $500. Any man that's not dead means he's eating. I don't know what I hear what I said. If you are not dead, what does it mean? You are eating. It means you can afford the Bible. He says, sir, to come for Bible study, didn't have to beg for money. Beg for money to buy a Bible. Yeah, you make a mistake if I now see a phone near you. That means recharge card, they enter that phone periodically. If you want a Bible, sell all that you have and give to the bookshop and they shall give you a Bible. I don't give anybody a Bible. I can give you a smartphone, I won't give you a Bible. I can give you a lot of things, but I will not give you a Bible. You say, why? Simply because if you can't buy it, you don't love it. Do you get the point I'm making? If you can't buy it, you don't love it. You don't want it. Please, though, I'm bringing an issue here. Listen, truth is so available these days that if you are walking in ignorance, it's a deliberate attempt at ignorance. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. For a long time, I used to just, you know, just leave things. Okay, anybody, do it the way you like it. You say that, after all, Paul said, if you don't do this, it's unto the Lord. If you do it unto the Lord. Paul was teaching about minding other people's business. That is, don't mind other people's business, mind your own business. Relate as best as you can with other people. He wasn't saying those people should stay in ignorance. Because he said, if you don't eat meat, he said, those of you that are strong, take care not to offend the faith of who? The weak. Therefore saying, those who still believe the doctrine of eat this meat and don't eat this meat, they are weak in faith. Paul was saying that categorically. And he was not encouraging anybody to remain weak in his faith. He was just saying, those of you who are weak in faith, strong in faith, be careful that you do not offend the faith of those who are weak. Are you following what I'm saying? This is the point I'm not making all of these things. Truth, it's not just the way I like it. You can't just believe what you like. Once we're having a discussion with the Reverend Father, where all of us were in a meeting, good man, you know, Father Dundon. Then I remember one of our sisters, Anne, said something. And he said, that is Baptist theology. Then somebody else said another thing after discussing, said, no, that this is the Methodist theology. And he was talking, after a while, we said, excuse me, sir, wait. Which we are trying here to arrive at the word of God, not labeling opinions. Because the Baptist theology can be wrong if it is in direct opposition to the Catholic theology or the Methodist theology. One thing is clear, one of them is wrong. Are you getting my point? And instead of saying that, oh, since I'm not a Baptist, and that is Baptist theology, I am excused from not believing it. It's a lie. It is not acceptable. What I should do is that if I hear an opinion, they say it is Baptist theology, and I have another opinion, and I say it is Methodist theology. Are you getting my point? And my friend has an opinion, and he says it's Catholic theology. What does that mean? We should sit down and find out which one is divine theology. Sometimes it is that all of us, we are all wrong. Sometimes it is that you have a fraction of it, I have another fraction of it, and you have a fraction. If we sit down, we'll be able to come together to the clear picture of it. But we must never be satisfied with the fact that I have a label for my theology. I had a discussion with a friend of mine the other day. There were some issues. He said, this is the church's position. I said, don't tell me the church's position. That is a congregation. You are a man of God. I am a teacher of the scriptures. We are both ministers of this gospel. Let's put a Bible down and iron out the truth. Don't tell me, since this is the church's opinion, they can bloody well be wrong. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I mean, if things are clear in the script, in fact, you know, I won't tell you what, but there's a book. I was checking something on the web once, you know, the way it is. You are somewhere, somebody is saying something. They put a link to another place. So I clicked on that link, I went somewhere else. And in that particular one, the fellow offered another link to a book. So I clicked on the book. He said the reference recommended this book. I clicked on the book, you understand my point, and downloaded it. When I read the book, I told my wife, anybody who I give this book to, We think I read this book before I wrote this particular book. Because that book was published in 1994. I released my own book in the year 2000 and something. And if you see the facts this guy was quoting, sometimes we're almost using the same words. I was surprised. I had never seen the book until like 2 days ago. The book I'm referring to that I wrote more than 2 years ago. You know, while I was reading all of this, and something else struck me that, in fact, my wife said that, if these things are like this, how come people still believe this opposite? This is summary. It's convenient. And I come to tell you today, it is not what is convenient that you are supposed to hold on to. Truth, you must search for it. Are you getting my point? Listen, quickly open to the book of Proverbs. You will see something that where David was writing the words. Sorry, Solomon was writing the words that he was taught as a young boy. Verse 12, chapter 8, sorry. He said, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. He said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth, I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. Where I'm going is verse 17. Wisdom said, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek for me will find me. Ah, you hear what I said? Yes. Those who do what? Who diligently seek for me will find me. It's not those who relax until broadcasts come into their homes. I don't know what I get my point. And I've told you this several times. A lot of people tell me that you're not on radio in Enugu again. I say Enugu is the last place currently I want to be on radio. You say why? I say it's simple. We were broadcasting from Enugu for over 4 years. All right? And then something happened. The radio station shut down. We tried another radio station. They ended up proving that they didn't know how to do business. Which was the will of God for me. You understand? But of course, currently we are in 3 radio stations and we are dreaming of a 4th one. But none of them is in Enugu. Why? When people ask, I said, because we're broadcasting Enugu for 4 years. Those who were interested. Enugu is not like Lagos where you can be broadcasting from Yanopaja and the guy who listens to you is in Victoria Island. Alright? So you cannot say that he can find you. Enugu, there's nowhere that takes more than, a number of minutes to get to. You can easily get here. Alright? So I'm on the road. So I go somewhere to minister and somebody says that, sir, we don't hear you on radio anymore. I just shake my head. When are you coming back on radio? In my mind, when I finish beating you. What is the reason? Why should I come back on radio? So that I can preach to you when it is convenient for you. So I pay money to bring it into your home. Look, I have no problem with broadcasting. We are broadcasting. I will keep on increasing. What I mean is that when I hear people's comments like that, if you want to hear me, you know where to find me. Our address is everywhere for people to identify. We don't meet at 12 midnight. It's a convenient time, twice a week. We just give Bible lessons for about an hour and a half. You can't make out the time. It is simple. I'm not saying you must listen to Pastor Banky. Should everybody listen to me? No, now. Am I the only teacher in the world? But if you are one of the people that are supposed to listen to me, oh boy, find your level down here. Instead of putting our money on radio to cover Enugu, no, I will take it to Kotangora. Take the money to Bauchi. I go to Adamawa State. I keep on going to places where people find it hard, naturally speaking, to get down here. Are you getting my point? Now, so the point I'm making is this. If somebody loves truth, he said it here, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. They won't find me if their effort is not enough. They will not find me if they don't put diligence into their seeking. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Listen to what I'm trying to explain here. Truth must be precious to the heart of anybody who says he's a Christian. Listen, I didn't say preaching. Are you getting my point? There's a book a friend of mine, a minister, gave me yesterday night. My wife and I went to visit them. Okay, we went somewhere together. So he said, I'll give you this book. And the man said, he saw a vision. I've not read the book, but the vision is interesting. That the Lord appeared to him and said, 99% of pastors and churches are going to hell. And there's a reason for it. I'm inclined to believe, if he had said 85%, I would believe that one instantly. But 99% is tough, but for adventure, you know, I've not seen the book, because I have the book, I've not read the book. I have the book in my house now. Once I make out time, I'm going to read it. What I'm going to say is that I'm not saying preaching now must be the love of the heart of the Christian. I'm saying what? Truth. At the risk of sounding like a bad guy today, let me tell you the truth. A lot of the things that are being shouted outside now is arrant nonsense. A man was telling me about another minister. He said these days, he doesn't quote scriptures anymore. He tells stories. I said, it's like that. It's like that. Once your focus is no longer the truth of the word of God, you will find out most of the things. Now, it usually has to do with those who go around raising money. Are you getting my point? You find out that the only thing they can do is to tell stories. I picked the microphone. 3 weeks ago, I was in this particular place. And I told people to do this. And this person did it. His life has not been the same. This one did it. His life has not been the same. The other one did not do it. He's dead now. Everybody becomes afraid. You are getting the point I'm making? So I'm saying that, listen, I'm not just talking about preaching, but I'm talking about what? Truth. I want to challenge anybody listening to me in this message that, listen, you must never be satisfied with where you are. God is very patient. The Bible says he is patient. He is slow to anger. Are you getting my point? He is long-suffering, King James will say. But I say all the time, he's not ever suffering. There's a difference between long and ever. The Lord may be long-suffering, but after a while, he gets tired. There's a time he overlooks our behavior in ignorance. But after a while, after he has pumped out truth, the fact that he's pumping out truth does not mean he will force it into your head. He just makes it available when you seek it. After he has made truth available, because the Bible says there was a time the word of God was scarce in Israel. Are you getting my point? It is possible for the word of God to be scarce. But this day and age, are you getting my point? This season we are in, that word is not, is. I know that you might tell me that preachers are scarce, good preachers. It is possible. But I found out that over the last 15, 20, 100 years, there have been a lot of good preachers. And their messages are well archived. Do you get my point? They are well archived. They are available for anybody who wants them. Therefore, any Christian walking in ignorance now is being deliberate in his ignorance. And when it gets to that point, the patience of God is exhausted. A pastor friend, he was in my house last weekend, about a week ago. So in the course of gist, I said, you've read Kenneth Hagin's this, mentioned one or two books. He said, no. I said, what? Now listen, let me say it again. If you're on our mailing list, I send these messages around, this short sermon around some time ago, and I recommended books, all right, in it. I said, if you're a preacher, there are 4 or 5 books in that mail I recommended. And let me go over them again. Most of them by Kenneth Hagin. 1 by Robert Sliadon. 1 I wrote. The one I wrote is the one I titled, How to Walk for God. The one by Robert Sliadon is God's Generals. The other ones are all by Kenneth Hagin and include things like, 1, he gave gifts unto men. 2, follow God's plan for your life. 3, I believe in visions. 4, plans for ways and pursuits. I wrote a number of them. I can't quickly remember all of them now. But I've just given you a number of them. If you're a preacher, read it. I still want to add this book I recommend all the time. Demos Shakarian's Happiest People on Earth. You will see lessons in there. So the man and I were speaking, and he now said that he had not read most of these books I mentioned by Kenneth Hagin. I said, what? Then and then I said, no, you must get the books by next week. I'm not even saying to God, because he's a man who loves the word. I know him. So it's people like that I give things to. If you have not demonstrated to me that you love it, I won't give you a book. I know they use book, take and entice people to righteousness. I use tracts. I use talk. It's only when you have shown me that you love the word that I can start giving you books as a gift. Because otherwise, you throw it away. I told the story once. A policeman stopped me, checked my boot. In fact, it happened many times. This one I have in mind was Onitsha, inside Onitsha. The guy stopped me, checked my book, saw books in there. He picked one. So I said, how far with my book? He said, won't I give him? I said, lie, lie, I'm not giving you anything. It's 200 naira. Give me my money. We argued to and fro. I tapped his pocket. I said, you are telling me at this checkpoint, you have not made anything today. That was the days that unrighteousness was very common. The Lord is helping us, amen? I said, listen. He said, why can't I give myself? Because I don't give out books. I told him like that. I'm not giving you. Give me the... In fact, the man was this kind of human being. I didn't, you know, normal Nigerians are afraid of police. You want to give him the book so you can go. I said, no. Ask for my license, I'll give you. Ask for everything. But this book, you want it, I must collect my 200 naira like this. What he didn't understand is that if he had brought the 200 naira, I may have left it for him. But for refusing to bring out the 200 naira, I snatched my book, put it back in my boot, and closed it. He said, I don't want to help him. I said, why should I want to help you? No, you don't understand my point. Why should I want to help you? Now that you know you need help. I don't know whether I get my point. And you are telling me you can't afford 200 naira. I said, forget, leave my book for me. He said, and I told him, I said, listen, it is because you must place value on it. I said, okay, that I should make it 5,000. I said, you are being ridiculous. Just leave me alone. I entered my car and drove away. That's just my attitude. If he had begged me for 200 bucks, I would have given him fast. But that book, I would not give him. That's just me. So, the man I offered to get books for, it wasn't because, it is because I know he values them. Are you getting my point? Now, but that's not the gist. The gist, in fact, I've left the main gist. I've said many things. That's where I be. I hope you can cope with me. You've been coming back. That means you are coping with me. Now, but this is where I'm going to. And I said, so that I will not forget that you might get these books next week. I immediately called Yinka. I said, Yinka, please, will this bookshop open tomorrow? Because it was public holiday, Easter Monday. I was not very sure. I said, please, we have to go and get this. But I said, there's a man of God in my house whose life is at risk. That's where I'm going. The guy started laughing. I said, there's a man of God here whose life, the words I use exactly are these. I said, there's a man of God here whose life is at risk. Now, was I joking? I said things like that in a light mood and we laugh, but I wasn't joking. I meant it in literal terms. I know the things that kill preachers. I've been taught a number of them over the years. I know things that are deadly mistakes. John said, if you see a brother committing a sin that is not unto death, you will pray and God will, you know, you will get life for the man, all right, who's committing a sin that's not unto death. But he said, but if you see a brother committing a sin unto death, I do not say you should pray for such a one. What does that mean? It is possible to understand the sins that kill and the ones that don't kill. I don't know whether that is my point. I'm not talking about those things now because I don't even know them myself. I know, I mean, I'm trying, but I don't know everything. But the point is that John said it so simply that if this guy is committing this kind of sin, pray for him. If he's committing this kind of sin, that's going to kill him. And you can't deliver him from that kind of death. You have better find a way by which he will repent. Are you getting what I'm going to explain there? What does that tell you? That, listen, I said to you before, every profession has its dangers. He said, he that cleaves wood is at risk of being injured by it. The man that breaks a wall, there's a risk, all right, that he might collapse on him, or that a serpent might bite him. That is, each profession has its dangers. And the wise man will learn the dangers in his own profession before he steps into them. So I said concerning my friend, you have not read the greatest warnings of modern day Christianity. I have never seen anybody write on the dangers that a preacher faces, all right, like Ken Hagin did in that series. And that's why I recommend all the time, if you're a preacher, Go and read those books. What am I saying? If you are going to endure in whatever you are doing, there is enough information available, and there is no excuse right now for ignorance. Apart from the fact that people don't care. They just don't care. And my message today is to emphasize to you that it is important. Let me get back to where I started from. The book of John chapter 14, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no one can come to the Father except he comes by me. Now, what I want you to understand from there is this. What I want to explain from there is this. Life has an order. What did I say? The Lord said to Moses, he said, make sure that, you know, because what happened was that he took him to the mountain and showed him a pattern. He now told him to go back down to the earth and build the tabernacle on the earth according to the pattern that he showed him in the heavens. And he said, make sure you build exactly according to that pattern that was shown to you. Listen, I'm looking at something here. Life has a pattern. Life has an order. Truth is not how I feel. Listen, truth is not how it feels to me. Truth is just that which is in accordance with the order that God set in place. As I said the other day, I was watching on TV. Joel Osteen was being interviewed by Piers Morgan on CNN. And he asked his opinion on homosexuality. And let me say this quickly, because right now we don't have that serious problem in Nigeria. Because one of the things, let me say to you, when society wants to spoil, the first problem that occurs is when they start redefining truth. When your life wants to go out of order, this is how you know. When you start making excuses for things you knew before that they were out of order. That is, you start redefining truth. Let me quickly say this, all right, before I get down to that. Nigeria of today, I've said it to you here again several times. I said the major problem in Nigeria is the Church of God. Nigerian problem is not Boko Haram. Nigerian problem is not PDP. The politicians in Nigeria, they are not the problem of Nigeria. The only problem Nigeria has right now is that thing called the body of Christ. Because they are the only ones that God commissioned to define truth for a people. Are you following the point I'm making? Listen, we are supposed to define truth for the world to copy. So Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He was explaining a principle. He said, if your eye is single, now two things I'm putting together. He said, you are the light of the world. He said, if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of what? Light. He said, but if the light that's supposed to be in you is it becomes what? Darkness. What did he say? How great is that darkness? Let's apply it to the nation. You are the light of the world, he's saying to Nigeria. The light you have is the people that are Christians that are inside. So he's now saying that if your light becomes darkness, then you are in trouble. Let me explain like this. Nigeria does not have any problem until the people that are supposed to define truth start telling lies. As long as the body of Christ, all right, continues to tell the truth, Nigeria has hope. Are you getting my point? Listen, just to explain some of the things I do. That's one of the major things I do with my life now, is to make sure that I guard the kind of ministry I operate as of today. People say, Pastor Banky, you turn into a church, more people will come. Those who are listening to me in Lagos, are they going to come to Enugu? No, answer me now. Those who are listening to me in Kotangora, are they coming to Enugu? Those listening to me in Malawi, are they coming to Enugu? Don't use the enticement of drawing more crowd to make me start organizing a church. I am not interested. It only gives me more distractions. Are you getting my point? And gives me less ability to bring forth the pure truth of God, which is what my heart desire is. I personally, as of today, I don't know about in 35 years' time, as of today, I personally consider it a distraction. You know what I'm going to explain? Because what we need more than anything else is truth. Listen, Once we uphold the standard of truth, we have hope. Because the Lord Jesus said, if the light that's supposed to be in you is now darkness, he said, how great is that darkness? What it means is that you have become hopeless. Please, I hope you have not been explained. Listen, when a society wants to run into trouble, they start redefining truth. I was watching, like I was telling you, Pierce Brosnan was interviewing Joel Osteen. And the question was simple. What do you think of homosexuality? Now, they said that, you know, the major argument is that homosexuals are born homosexuals. Therefore, why do you judge them for being homosexuals? That's the major argument. After all, the man was born a homosexual. Why do you judge him for being a homosexual? Now, are you judging a homosexual? No, I don't have any business judging a homosexual. You're asking me about homosexuality. Is that not so? And I read the scriptures, and God says it's an abomination. That's all. He said, but he was born like that. Let me ask you a question. Are there not people that are born blind? Does it now make the driver of my car? If I don't agree to employ a man born blind, am I discriminating now? Because after all, I should recognize that he was born blind. Why did Jesus go to heal a man that was born blind? Because blindness is out of order. Whether you were born like that or not is a secondary matter. Listen, because of my normal profession, no secular profession, like we say, I know a lot about diseases. And I know that a huge chunk of patients that come to hospital, they were born with those disorders. So why don't we say, why are you coming to this hospital? Go back home. After all, you were born like this. Do you get the point I'm making? I mean, a man has sickle cell disease, a woman has sickle cell disease. You don't say, no need for treatment. He was born like that. A man, all right, comes with some serious congenital disorders. Maybe he found out that he has what we call a congenital heart disease. Instead of having chambers separated like this, four of them, his own has holes inside, communicating abnormally. He comes to hospital, he says, Madam, this your son was born like this. Go back home. Treating him is discrimination. You know, so the fact that, listen, number one, I'm not here to argue about whether homosexuals were born homosexuals or not. That's not the question. But that does not validate it. Even if you prove, you can show me the genes. I can also show you the genes that cause some hundreds of diseases. I can show you the genes. In case you don't know, the tendency to be diabetic, all right, is 90% as an old person, all right? There are two types of diabetes. The tendency to be diabetic as an older person is 90% determined by your genes. Does that mean we stop treating diabetic patients? We now say diabetes is normal. After all, we found out that 90% of the determining factor is genetic. No, what do we do rather? We say if you find out if your father was diabetic, your mother was diabetic, you find out two of your siblings are already diabetic. Obesity becomes the number one reason why you become diabetic. So as the guy is approaching the age of 40, tell your boy, slim down, slim down. So the man stops eating. He starts slimming down. He keeps himself trim because as long as he's trim, that gene will not manifest. Because if the genes manifest, it will kill him. Are you getting my point? We do not make excuses for the fact that he was born with the genes. Therefore, it has now made diabetes normal. According to Ravi Zacharias, he calls it what? Salvation by survey. Once it is common, it is accepted as normal. Listen to me. For us Christians, it is not like that. What defines for us what is right and what is wrong is what? The word of God. What did I say? The word of God. Listen to me. Defining truth is one of the most important things you must do. That is, defining it correctly. You don't make excuses for lies. Like they do in the Western world, say, after all, homosexuals were born homosexuals. So what? Like I've already established, we've seen many more diseases than that, that where people were born like that, but, because we recognize the effect it has on human life, we recognize them as what? Diseases. So that day when he was being interviewed, I was proud of Joel Osteen. He said, I don't know. You know, the Bible says it is wrong, so it must be wrong. God says it is wrong, Therefore, it is wrong. The foolish man interviewing him said that, who are you to judge? I said, what kind of hypocrisy and contradiction is this? You just introduced the man as a pastor. Are you getting my point? Which means he's supposed to be a custodian of truth according to the documented word of God. And he's quoting it for you. You tell him he's one to judge. I wish I was the one being interviewed that day. I would have turned the questioning on the man's life. I would have accused him as being one causing problems in the world. I said, Piers Morgan, you are the one causing problems in this world. Contradictions. You called me a pastor. If you found me yesterday, all right, with two women, all right, in my house, calling them my wives, you would have come here saying that, and he says he's a pastor. Is that not so? Listen, truth is what I'm talking about. What is truth? It is that which is in accordance with God's order. And I'm emphasizing something to you. All right, listen. I said to us here before, you've heard it. Now, what I'm emphasizing to you, okay, is that you must reach for truth. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. What am I saying? The amount of God you experience is determined by how conformed with truth your life is. Let me say it one more time. The amount of God you experience is determined by how conformed to truth your life is. That's why when I started writing that book, should I say yes? If you remember at the beginning, know what I did? First, I defined, I said, what is a husband? What is a wife? I call it the power of resonance. People say that I'm looking for a wife. I'm praying to God for a husband. And God says, what you call a husband is not what I call a husband. Many of the things people call husbands, God said, no, that is, the proper title for that is God. You didn't hear me? If you heard me, say amen. You know why I'm saying so? Let me say it again. I'll tell you why I'm saying so. As the person is praying, Lord, give me a husband. Give me a husband. God said, she's asking for another God. And I am God. There is none else. Therefore, I can't answer that prayer. Why? Because the young woman is thinking that this, my poverty must come to an end. Unconsciously. So when she goes to church and they say that we need to do this with this amount of money, say, the reason why I don't have money is why? I don't have a husband. Therefore, she kneels down and prays. Lord, give me a husband. Say, God says she's asking for another God. Because prosperity comes from whom? From God. He said, not from the east or the west or from the south comes exaltation. But God is judge. So as long as she's thinking like that, listen, she gets no answer. Because she's asking for another God. Her definition is wrong. You are getting the point I'm trying to make. That is why when I said that book, I said, no, you must get your definitions right. When I was talking about wife in our meals, a lot of men don't know what they call it. They don't understand what God calls a wife. What they call a wife is what God calls a concubine. So, Pastor, what are you talking about? Having read the scriptures, the only thing that fits most traditional people's mind, what they have in mind, what they call a wife, which a lot of young men are imbibing, is the only thing I see close to it in the Bible is the word concubine. You can sleep with her, amen, and it's not a sin. She bears you children, and she's yours all the days of your life. But she's your servant. She's your slave. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? She's not one with you. Therefore, it is legitimate to hide everything you are doing. And you say, woman, why are you disturbing me? The woman is woman. Are you getting my point? Why are you disturbing me? This is my business. It does not concern you. That is a concubine. So you change your prayer point from today. Say, Lord, please, I want a concubine. Pastor Bank is what I've been asking for. If you cannot say that, then please, go and redefine. Because listen, the amount of God, Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except by truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Because you must understand the application of it. What he was saying is that you don't come to the Father except truth is in your mind. You don't come to the Father. You can't experience his power except Truth is what you are walking by. Therefore, you must go for truth like your life depends on it, because indeed it does. Are you getting my point? What am I trying to say? It is not acceptable to just relax and say, this is what our church says. Your church is not God. You know, Paul said something. He said, let nobody deny you of your reward. Let me summarize it. By teaching you wrong doctrines. You hear what I said? Every time you adhere to wrong doctrines, you are losing something. What did I say? Anytime you adhere to wrong doctrines, you are losing something. For example, you've heard me preach on the matter of deliverance. You understand my point? Overcoming the power of darkness and all of that, all right? Now, there are teachings that are very popular in Christianity today. Who is demon-possessed? Or the role of curses? You know, that one is the one that's reigning now. Every problem in your life is a curse. And then you target them to break those curses. Listen, if it is a lie, let us assume for a moment, I'm not discussing whether it's true or not now, the veracity of those doctrines. I just want to bring a particular situation. Let us assume it is not true. And the problem in your life is not a curse. It is laziness. Are you getting my point? For 5 years, you are breaking the curse. You broke it today and somebody explained that, that's one of those doctrines that make me laugh. That this curse was placed upon you with the sacrifice of a cow. You need to sacrifice an elephant to break it. You haven't heard it before? That young woman laughing loud there. She has heard it before. It's very common. They will tell you that if they made a sacrifice against you, to start a curse in your life with a cow, with a goat, for you to break it, you must sacrifice a bigger goat. Since you don't know that it was a goat, the size of the goat that they used, let's just go beyond the goat to go to a cow. And in case it was a cow they buried to bury your destiny, you have to sacrifice a bigger cow. Since we don't know the size of the cow they used, let's just use an elephant. And like one man that I was present said, what I did was to use a Mercedes Benz. Listen. If you like, catch and sacrifice a dinosaur. If that is not the source of your problems remain. Please, I hope you have not understood. If you like, catch and sacrifice a hippopotamus. If that was not the source of your problems, your problem remains. I'm not teaching about that now, but for those who just want to know for the records, the sacrifice of Jesus is bigger than that of a dinosaur. Are you getting my point? It is not the size of the animal that's the problem. It is the power in the blood. Are you getting my point? And the blood of Jesus indeed washes us away, washes from all our life all curses and all problems. Did I hear an amen? That is a matter of fact. But this is what I want to make. So sometimes people hold on to that. Once when I preached on radio, a man said that there are people who can't live. Because, you know, people, when I preached on this deliverance matter, oh God, it was hot that time. Because I was, you know, when Paul cast out that demon of divination, you know, they had him arrested. Why? Because he had ended the source of income for the owners of that girl. The girl was a slave. So when the girl couldn't do fortune telling anymore, what happened was that the people said, this guy wants to come out food from our mouth. So they had him imprisoned. What they didn't understand was that the man cast out the demon, he couldn't return the demon. If he like in prison from now to tomorrow, that demon is gone. So then when I did that, a lot of people were angry. And one man sent the text, I remember. They showed me that one. That he said that I should understand that there are people who can't live without this deliverance. And I said, although I don't reply to such things, I said, that shows you one thing, they were never delivered. I don't know what I get my point. The Bible says it clearly now, is that if the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin, there will have been no need to continue offering the sacrifices year by year. For the man to need deliverance continually, it shows that he has never been delivered. I mean, I think that's a self-evident fact. That thing does not work. It does not cure. It does not cure. But adventure, it controls. You know, I told this story once here also of a woman when in the hospital. And one patient, we were students. One patient said, he just called, is there any questions? Our big chief finished and asked him many questions. The man said, yes. I noticed that when you were talking to your students and your younger doctors, you kept on using the word control, 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 that we'll be able to achieve a good control. And then, you know, the man was teaching us, all right? Just explain to us, we the students, and that, look, what we'll do is that we'll increase the drug value, we'll be able to add this drug, we should be able to achieve a good control. That man was a very educated man. The patient was a principal, a secondary school principal, a retired principal. So he understood everything. So any question, I said, why are you using the word control? Control, why not cure? Are you getting my point? And the man turned around to us again and said, you see, be very careful what you say in the presence of your patients. Some of them are very, very intelligent. And turned back to the man and said, yes, sir, you are correct. I use the word control because we can't cure your disease. The man had Parkinson's disease. If you saw Muhammad Ali the other day, I saw him with all the money available to treat Muhammad Ali. The man, he can hardly move, but he's always moving. Yes, that's Parkinson's disease. He can't initiate movement, but his hand is always trembling like this. My wife saw it. She said, what is going on? I said, that is advanced Parkinson's disease with all the money available to treat him. That was what this man also had. And our big boss then explained to him, sir, we can't cure your disease. What we are aiming for is to control it. So if a man needs deliverance every day, what does that tell you? He's not cured. You are just controlling him, but actually you are not even really controlling him. You are doing what the Bible calls healing the heart of the daughters of my people slightly by saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. What am I trying to say? When men believe such things, they are held in bondage because they will not accept the true deliverance because they have a wrong doctrine in their hearts. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, wrong doctrines deny you of your reward. The amount of truth or the amount of God you will experience is tied to the amount of agreement your life has with truth. Once a young man was working for me, and he happened to be a Christian, and he went to a very well-known church. And as he was walking, we were talking, and he said that, people ask him, how is he able to do this, his business, and he's doing well, he's making money. Listen to this, or listen to this carefully. He said, it's the power of covenant. And I've heard covenant before, and I was impressed. Oh, this guy's a good Christian. And he said that what happened was, when he was a used copper, he saved a lot of his alawi, his used copper allowance, and bought a keyboard. I don't know whether you're hearing me. He bought a keyboard and gave it to a fellowship. And he said, when that keyboard plays, it sounds in heaven. It's a covenant. That when God hears the music from the keyboard, God will be pouring blessing into his life. I shook my head and I said to myself, get ready for poverty. Just for clarity, what they quote to say that thing, which is totally out of order, is that prosperity is a covenant. That you make a covenant with God that you will give and he will bless you. It's not true. God said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get wealth, that he may establish the covenant which he swore to your fathers. What was the covenant? It was the one he cut with Abraham. In blessing will I bless you. Walk with me and be perfect and I will bless you. He didn't say it's a covenant. You offer to give me money and I'll give back to you. Arrant nonsense. Like I said, I'm not teaching on that now. But this is just the point. You see Christians walking around telling themselves they have made a covenant with God. Listen to me. Go and read your Bible well. Nobody has the power to initiate a covenant with God and his stance. He is the one. I like the old man of God said it. He said, you don't tell God, let's make a deal. He said, God tells you, here is the deal. He said, but Hannah made a covenant. Listen, Hannah finally found the right place where God was waiting for her to get to. Do you get the point I'm making? You said, Jacob made a covenant. I had nonsense. What happened was Jacob had inherited a blessing. Are you getting my point? And that blessing was carrying him to places. And then you must understand there are covenants that are out there all the time for you to key into. He said, for example, Jesus died for the whole world, including Osama bin Laden. If Osama bin Laden, any of those days that he was alive, has said, have mercy upon me, Jesus of Nazareth, he has stepped into the covenant of Abraham. The covenant was already there. Are you getting my point? Waiting, he said, whosoever we believe, God has already made a covenant with whosoever we believe. So the young man was speaking that day and he said to me, oh, the power of covenant is what is operating. He bought a keyboard. What about when the keyboard catches fire? After all flesh is grass. The grass withers and the flower fades when there's a Nepa surge. If you have power surge, boom, and the thing smokes, what happened? Your all the blessings. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Correct doctrine? The one I tell you all the time, which you must never do. When you want to pray, whip out your checkbook and say, God, look at what I have given you. If you ever do that, get up, give yourself a knock. Boom on the head. Say, Lord, I repent of stupidity. Because nobody can ever give to God that he might demand back from him. Jesus said to his disciples categorically, he said, in like manner, anytime you do anything that is right, don't ever expect commendation. He said, say like this, we are unworthy servants. We have only done that which is expected of us. Is there any other thing that we should do? Therefore, I sent that mail around, that teaching, the doctrine of mercy. Christians operate how? By mercy. Every hour you sit, and you are praying in the power of your good works. Listen to me. You are wasting your time. Listen, sound doctrine is important in your life. Don't hide behind that. In our church, this is how we do it. If your church is wrong, you have just joined the bandwagon of wrong people. God has mercy. But I told you, God is long-suffering, does not mean he's ever suffering. God, is it Paul that said it like this? In the time of darkness, God winked at some things. He overlooked some things. He said, but now light has come. And I said to you, there is information everywhere. There is no reason why you should walk in darkness or in ignorance or in wrong doctrines except for the simple reason of lack of interest and pure laziness. My wife tells me that sometimes because she sells things and she has customers. Of course, you know, when a woman marries you and she believes in you, she behaves like you. Amen? Did you hear what I said?
Sure.
All right. If your wife has not copied anything from you, tell her, say, okay, have her. You don't believe in me or what? My wife has copied a lot from me. She does not give people books also. A woman will pay her 20,000 naira because they bought a suit, they bought perfume, and stuff like that. And they'll say, dash me that book now. How much is the book? 350 naira. 500 naira. My wife will say, never, never, I will not dash you. You don't want to help me. Why should I help you? You can pay me 20,000 naira to smell nice. But I should help you to improve your life. Why didn't you ask me to help you to smell nice? She said, this is a sign that you don't value it. She was telling me that I told one woman, buy this book and read. Say, hey, you know how many books I have bought? I have not had time. The person that has not had time, look at the hair on her head. She has not had time. The person that has not had time, look at the face, well made up. She has not had time. You know, I'm very busy. Once I just get home, I am tired. Are you getting my point? But you wake up in the morning, you can have a bath. You know why? It is important to you. But they think it is okay. Sometimes, you know, I tell sometimes, my wife asks me sometimes, say, why is this thing like this? I say, people love to be deceived. I don't feel sorry these days for anybody who's been deceived. If you go to a church and your pastor says, listen, or a mercenary. You know, there are different guys, there are pastors and there are mercenaries. So the guy comes out of town to do the dirty job. So he said, listen, there are 50 people that God wants to bless today. There are 50 people. This is a blessing. You are going to become rich, amen. You are going to become great, amen. That husband you have been waiting for will come next month, amen. But for you to connect with that blessing, you will give an only sacrifice. That is the thing that's most precious to you. For example, maybe they just paid you, you know, January. They just paid you upfront, you know, if you're a banker. They just paid you your upfront. You will say, God, this is my seed. The man came to collect that money. At the end, listen, I don't feel sorry for anybody. You like it like that. If I told you to take part of that money, buy a book for 2,000 naira, read it, and at the end of the day, we'll discuss the book and pray, you will have said, I don't have time. So pay with the time you don't have, with your half of your yearly salary. It is none of my business. I have no mercy for you anymore. He said, I will be blessed. You are lying. You have been robbed. You just don't realize it. These days, preachers are going around robbing people. And I don't feel sorry for the victims because they love it. The only defense you have, the only defense is what? Truth. The man of God was in my house last weekend. He said he went somewhere. No, a man came to preach in the church. It was a scandal that day. They had supplied the man with information. This man that is there, God said, that's your land you have on so and so place. You will give it to the Lord. The guy grabbed the microphone and said, the Lord has said nothing to me about it. I'm not giving it to anybody. He said, it became quarrel. You don't want to obey the word of God. He said, I will obey the word of God when I hear it. This one is not the word of God. It was open confrontation. His wife was pinching him, give it now. The guy like, what? You want somebody to just defraud me like this? Very reasonable man. After a long time, I said, okay, if that land will make you happy, take it. I'll give you guys. But I know this is just a settle quarrel. It's not for God. I'm not giving it to God. It is because you guys want it. Take it. That's honorable man. True story. So at the end of the whole, it was a major program. It was a big man that was asking for it. So at the end of the day, the pastor of the church, I think the following day, said, everybody, please, anybody who pledged something here, I hereby release you from the pledge. That land, we are not collecting. Any car you pledge, take it back. In Jesus' name, your money, please. Your checks, we are not clearing it. It was a scandal. Listen, I have reached a point now, I don't feel sorry for anybody again. You want to be deceived? Be deceived. If you loved the word of God, you will have been protected from deception. Can God ask for something that you have? Of course he can. But when he does, you will know. Are you getting my point? You will know, and your heart will not be in doubt. You will stop asking. And listen, when you give something really, truly for God, you are not asking for, what am I going to get back? One day, one of those mercenaries came to town somewhere. And by the time he finished preaching, one big man, now let me color it. The man just bought, as an example, a brand new, let's say, BMW 7 Series. Brand new. When this man finished preaching, if you want to see the glory of God, you will do something dangerous, and danger will come out of your soul. But he said, you want to see something dangerous, you do something dangerous. The man carried his dangerous keys to his dangerous car with the dangerous particulars. Drove. The Lord is good. A few weeks later, he asked a friend of mine. That was why I heard the story. He said, really, what does it mean to see the glory of God? And my friend picked the phone and called me. Pastor Banky, what does it mean to see the glory of God? I said, tell him to ask the man who preached it to me. Why are the two of you disturbing my soul? They didn't even give me lift in the car. Which one are you now? What is now my problem? Because weeks down the line, the man woke up from under the hypnotism. And he discovered that he had wasted his time
and he had wasted his money, he had wasted his energy, he had been robbed, he had been defrauded. He started asking questions. Listen, those who truly give to God don't ask such questions. They don't. They are joyful. If they saw the car being used to be a blessing in somebody else's life, they are happy. Yeah, that used to be my car. Praise God. They are happy. They are happy. The other day, I sent a mail around and explained to those who give Kingdom World money, this is what your money does. Why I did that was just because I don't want the one in which people just think that I have sowed the seed so that God will bless me. If that's what you are doing to Kingdom World, please don't do it again. I can't refund you your money because I didn't know when you were doing it. So, and I've given your money to broadcast stations. The Lord is good. But the point is that don't do it again. I am not interested. Don't do it again. Don't sow any stupid seed into my life or into the life of this ministry. If you want to give, we accept it. If you are a criminal and you are looking for how to purge your conscience, may God worsen your conscience if you bring your money here. Are you getting my point? I did that so that those who love the Lord, are you getting my point? I said, listen, this is what we do with your money when you give it to us. We pay to broadcast on the, over the air. We are in 3 radio stations. We are thinking about getting onto a 4th one. We are on 1 international TV station. This is what we do. So that you will know this is what I am doing. If you don't like it, then forget it. I didn't even put there that we pray for you. Though we pray for you. When I remember you, I prophesy over your head. And read my book. So we'll pay for this. Read the book. And this is the point I'm making. So if you read that book, you see it. It's in the book. I explained it. This is how to receive from God. And this is how to be part of the prophet's reward. Are you getting my point? There is indeed a prophet's reward. There is indeed a prophet's reward. There is indeed a prophet's reward. But this is the point I'm making. I like people to understand the truth. So if in your heart you really, really like what we are doing, and then we explain, this is what we are doing. You participate in it. If I don't like what you are doing, I will not give money to you as a preacher, as a church, as a ministry. If I think you are a bunch of jokers, you won't see my 1 naira. Unless you're about to die. And I always give to dying people. Yes, now if hunger wants to finish you, I'll give to you, even if you are my enemy. It's the word of God. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. You are getting the point I'm trying to make. I'm talking about what? Sound doctrine. Those who understand that kind of thing, if they give God 100 million naira out of 101 million that they have, it doesn't move them. The only time they will feel bad, if they finish giving the money, they don't see the people doing the work they were doing before. They will now wonder what is going on. Are you getting my point? But once that work is going on, they are satisfied there. Truth must be pleasant to your soul. You must love it. You must desire it. Because God is long-suffering does not mean he's ever suffering. You cannot continually walk in ignorance, praying in the name of your good works instead of the name of Jesus Christ, and you expect God to continue to bless you. No. He's making a demand. My son, my daughter, go for truth. Go for truth. I am the way, the truth, the truth. No one can come to the Father except he comes with truth, except he understands truth, except truth is what he comes by. You can't keep on quoting things that are out of order. And you will expect God to continue to manifest his blessing in your life. Some people have given testimonies that are testimonies of mercy. Not because of what they did. That is, God just overlooked their stupidity and blessed them all the same. Like I said, God is not a wicked person. He said, you see, because, you know, you are drowning now because you didn't pronounce my name correctly. Are you getting my point? No. If you are drowning and you shout help, with all the lies you have told yourself, sometimes even if you're worshiping other gods, he will still overlook it so you don't die, so that he will give you another opportunity for repentance. Don't go therefore and say, my idols brought me out of the water. Are you getting my point? If you have been walking by doctrines that are not correct, it does not mean that God has been blessing it. I said the first sign of God's blessing is correction. Are you getting my point? Listen, your heart must go for truth. It is important so that you are not denied of your reward, so you don't waste your time, so your life is not wasted. That is the foundation of seeing the face of God. I hope you've understood what I've said today. If you understood it, say amen.